Songs, and it was March the 8th, Sunday morning, that I was last here. It's almost 2 months away from you. I was having withdrawals. but Sunday afternoon, my mother started to have some issues. Tuesday, she went into the hospital, was in the hospital for a week, and then I cared for her at home for about 4 weeks, and the Lord took her home, and so we praise Him. But it's good to be back with you. Let's go to prayer this time. Heavenly Father, I love you this morning. You are always good. And Father, our nation is suffering through this virus. But Lord, even through this, you might receive the glory. People are fearful. Father, may they look to you, who is gives comfort and stability and strength. Father, we thank you for our Lock Haven Church family and what a comfort they were to me during my time of struggle. Father, we pray for the service today. Pray for our pastor as he opens your word. May everything that's said and done bring you the glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I put a sign on my hardware store door explaining my situation and saying that I would only be open when I had a sitter for my mother. And so as customers have coming back, not hearing that my mother went home to be with the Lord, they might ask, "How's your mother?" And I say, "She's ecstatic." Because she knew the Lord as her Savior, and she was very much ready to be with Him. We are practicing social distancing. Be sensitive to people around you. They might have health issues and might be very concerned during this time. So although you might be very friendly and want to shake their hand, don't force yourself upon them. Be sensitive to them. If they refuse your handshake, don't take it personally. We're just trying to be safe. And Pastor has prepared some safety ideas there on the video, and that'll be playing through the service this morning. Take your song book this morning, turn to page number 151. Let's stand together as we sing Praise Him, Praise Him, 151. Particularly for the prayers that have been expressed for my mother and for myself. I said at the funeral this last Tuesday, many times during the last 4 or 5 weeks, I've thought to myself, you know, I should be an emotional wreck right now. Why do I have such peace? And through the whole situation, through the hospital stay, trying to find a sitter for my mother, or sitting with her myself because I couldn't find a sitter for certain days, but yet I had wonderful peace through it all, and I believe it was because of the prayers of God's people that sustained me, so I do thank you for that very much. We will meet again as a live group next Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. The Wednesday night services, Bible clubs, whatnot, will not take place live, but they are available on Facebook. Sister Dyer and Jared are having the Bible club. It'll be at 4 o'clock this afternoon and also at 6:30 on Wednesday if you want to tune into that for your children. And Sister Kim will be having a prayer time with the ladies on Facebook, 3 p.m. on Saturday. So the ministry is continuing, although in a little bit different manner than what you're used to. At this time, Sister Dyer will come and sing for us. Service to our community because there's a need for blood during this time. Take your song book, turn to page number 271. You may remain seated as we sing Sunlight 271. I'm Missionaries to Greece, and their ministry continues there. This isn't just a problem in the United States, it's a problem throughout the world. And so pray for our missionaries during this time. And it's good to see that their ministry is continuing, and a ladies' disciple class getting started, and 7 baptismal candidates. That's a real blessing. We will not be taking up the offering this morning. If you came into another door, be advised that the offering pans are here on the front, and after the service, you're welcome to come by and drop your offering in the plate. Also, there are some church bulletins available up there as well. But if you would, take your songbook and turn to page number 69, and we'll stand together as we sing My Faith Looks Up to Thee, page 69. Amen. You may be seated. And before the message. Mr. Lois Cornsby will sing.
Church, it's good to see y'all back here on this Sunday morning. Glad that you're able to come out and be with us. Folks that are watching live from their homes or even out of state, we thank you for joining us and being with us here at Lock Haven Baptist Church. It's good to have Brother Jim back with us for sure. He's been gone longer than the most of us, but it's good to have him back. And certainly in prayer for him and his brother. And Sister Jeanette, I was able to go by and see her Friday and take her some bread over from the bread place, the bread that we have from Publix. And she's doing well. She's glad that Brother Bill's home, but she still needs her prayer. So I'll be in prayer for her that the Lord will encourage her, strengthen her. She said thank you all for the cards as well. And so we're glad that we as a church can reach out to her. But the blessing that we was able that night to meet under the oak trees and FaceTime with her and seeing Amazing Grace to her, it meant the world to our church. And thank you for coming, those that was able to then. And so we're looking forward to how we're going to serve God the rest of this year, because we are in the middle of the year. We're there. It's May already. And this time of year, we would all be getting ready for graduations, but, you know, things are a little different. But we're thankful that we get to honor our class of 2020. We have actually 8 graduates that graduate this year, and Brother Ray has put a display up here to honor them. And I believe the first Sunday in June, is that right, Sister Maria? We'll be having a celebration for them, all of them. They all go to different schools. But the first Sunday of June, we're going to have a celebration here for them over at the Family Life Center and be able to honor them. They might not get the normal graduation that they have or is expecting, but we as a church can do what we normally would do for them. And so we're going to honor them. Glad that they're still serving God. Good to have visitors with us today. At the funeral of Brother Jim's mom, the funeral home men that were there operating and caring for Sister Dorothy said, "Pastor Stockton, we have really enjoyed at the funeral home the pastor's study. They've been watching from the funeral home." So praise the Lord for that. I didn't know that they were watching and had no idea. They even knew the name that I had a little title I threw on there and kind of stuck. And I said, "Wow, that's amazing. That is just amazing." We're going to be in 1 Corinthians 13 this morning. 1 Corinthians 13. Good to have visitors with us. Good to have a good crowd in here. Good to see everybody's doing their part, social distancing and staying away from each other. I tell you, it is good to be back. Missed all of you. Missed all of you. And glad that we can have this time together. Certainly in prayer for our church family. Nobody at this point has been sick with the virus, so we're going to pray that we can keep it that way. Let's read the whole chapter this morning. Let me thank Brother Bill Spencer before we go on. He doesn't ask for any accolades, but Brother Bill worked very hard the last 2 weeks to bring internet into this building. We didn't have it. That's why we did the pastor study thing. He went under the sidewalk, brought wires all the way through, got it up there, and now we're able to do this. And so we're thankful for your help, Brother Bill. He didn't want nothing said. I'm just saying it because sometimes you need to say thank you. Just need to say thank you. Thank you, Brother Bill. Appreciate it. 1 Corinthians 13. "Oh, I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether they be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity." So, Pastor, I remember not too long ago you chose this passage and you spoke out of it again. I tell you, you can take any passage and speak every Sunday, and God, the Holy Spirit of God, can bring something fresh and new. But one thing that moved me this week was, as I was preparing for us to come back as a church, was the love that we have for one another as a church family. And we don't have that naturally. Naturally, we're just mean people. You know, naturally, the sin that's in there, we're not kind. There's nothing good in us that within ourselves. But it's the love of God. And so as I thought this morning, as we come back together, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing just to have a reminder of the great love of God? For God's love was commended toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. I don't love God because I am a loving person. I love God because He first loved me. The love of Christ constrains us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so when we talk about charity, we are talking about the love of God, a love that God Himself can give to us. Oh, I love my friends in a way that's a friendly love. I love my wife in a romantic husband-type love and love my children. I love my dogs, but there's no, love like the love of God that is eternal. The love of God is eternal. Man's love begins one day and then sometimes has an expiration point. Sometimes I think we often are looking for the limit of God. But when we talk about charity this morning, we talk about God's love, we're talking a love that is eternal. It is a love that's ongoing. God didn't just start loving me after I trusted Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Isn't that an amazing thing? Because you and I both know who we were and where we were as sinful men and women and children. We deserved the wrath of God. And the wrath of God abided upon us, but yet the love of God was not diminished because I was a sinner. For God loved the world enough that He gave before we and others like us trusted Christ, our personal Lord and Savior. So the love of God is eternal. It doesn't change. It didn't change before. It wasn't diminished or wasn't greater before we got saved. It's not greater as we live this Christian life and falter and fall. You know, Peter said, Peter was kind of like you and I. He was looking to the Lord. He said to the Lord, "How many times shall I forgive thee?" You know what Peter was doing? He was looking for a limit to love someone. And what was the answer? 70 times 7. I mean, in one day, Lord, yes. Oh, and so when we think about the love of God, we think about the eternal. This year, charity, and we look at this, and there's no greater demonstration than the cross of Calvary. On that day, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ hung between earth and heaven, and He was there paying the sin debt, and the sins of mankind was placed upon His body. And as the Father turned His back, and Jesus cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" There's no greater demonstration as He looked down upon the crowd, and not only the crowd, all the way down through history, and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." What a demonstration of the charity, of the love of God this morning. And so the powerful love of God is what we want to speak about this morning and talk about. And I just want to be honest with you, dear friend. The love of God that indwells us and lives within us. Why do you say that? For the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. So the love of God, once you're saved and born again, you trust Christ, your first Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit of God indwells us, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, that's eternal love. And so it's there. Dear friend, this love that I'm talking about should conquer all bickering and bitterness and backbiting and blaming, and it should bring blessings into our life. You know, the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Isn't it thankful that we should be thankful that God gave so we could have eternal life? And so we should give of ourselves, because that is the second of the two greatest commandments, to love our neighbor. We should give. Now listen, this love that I'm talking about, dear friend, it should build fellowship and it should restore faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know why we have preserved the Word of God? Because God loves us.
He wants us to know about Him. He wants us to know that we are, our faith is our victory. He wants us to know that, hey, we were dead in trespasses and sin, but because of the blood of Christ, which is powerful and washes away our sin by faith and repentance for God, He wants us to know that story. So God's love is powerful. And listen, dear friend, it should draw us together as a church family. I don't know about you, but I've been missing this portion. Not here, not just preaching. Some of you have been watching on Facebook. I'm telling you, my chair began to get, I was preaching. That is not what I miss. I miss the fellowship of God's people. I miss being around each other. I miss the your spirit and my spirit bear witnesses that we are the children of God. Let me tell you, the love of God, boy, it brings us together, keeps us together, and helps us as a church. Many questions have come up. How are we going to operate? How are we going to go? We're going to go on in the love of God like we did before this, and we're going to keep on serving God and keep on looking to God for help and for strength and for direction. And the love of God is going to continue to draw all sinners because, listen, when Christ is lifted up, He said, I'll draw all men to Me. Wasn't it a blessing this morning to read there in our little printout in the prayer letter from Brother Jimmy that he's got 7 candidates waiting for baptism? What's the big deal? Baptism comes after being saved and being born again. That means they're in the family of God. And there, what a blessing to read about that. That happened because God is still loving all sinners. Well, I'm going to tell you, many times we as God's people, we walk around powerless in our Christian service, in our life. What do you mean, preacher? I'm just going to tell you, there's many times we do what we do just out of nobility, responsibility, or convenience. I know that didn't rhyme with the other two, but I'm not a poet. And we don't do it out of love. If we don't do it out of love, and I'm going to tell you, dear friend, if we don't do the service of God, the work of God in love, we are powerless. We are powerless. The whole gospel message, dear friend, is about God's great love. I mean, the whole message of the cross of Calvary is because of God's great love. And it doesn't matter how well we speak, and without love, dear friend, we are weak as Christians. We are walking around doing the work of God, religious work, without the power of God. We can't love sinners and not be working for God and laboring for the cause. But dear friend, I'm going to tell you, we can look at this world and say, I don't want to be troubled or bothered with sinners because they are sinful. So therefore, I am going to do my religious works. How in the world can we look at this world and not have compassion and look at this here lost people dying and going to a devil's hell without having the love of God well up inside of us, because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. The first one He throws out there is love. Nobody, listen, dear friend, the amount of words we can speak and the clarity of our speech and the eloquence of our speech means absolutely nothing without the love of God in our lives. Without the love of God, dear friend, we are worthless. That's what He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity or eternal love, God's love, I am become as a sounding, I'm just a bunch of noise. I'm just making racket. I mean, I'm just throwing out words that may sound good to the flesh, dear friend, but the heart needs to be pricked with the love of God so that they can have eternal life offered to them through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, no matter, listen, how sincere you may sound, if the love of God's missing in your life, dear friend, it will show forth. It will. And dear friend, we're powerless. We're powerless. He says here in verses 1-3, look at verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy,
There's a lot of folks running around here thinking they have the gift of prophecy, don't they? Not an ounce of love of God in their life. Oh, preacher, I can understand all the passages. I have great understanding of the scripture. And their vows of compassion to shut up towards men and women in our community and lost folks. You may understand scripture for yourself, but the love of God will cause you to want to expound scripture to our neighbors and friends and family, lost loved ones, and those that are at our workplace and things of that nature. But I can understand all mysteries, but we have no love. No love. I got the gift of knowledge, preacher. I'm glad you're smart. I'm thankful that you have knowledge. But greater than your knowledge is the eternal love of God. Pastor, I'm sacrificing daily. You can sacrifice until your body is offered as a burnt offering, it says here. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods and feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, have not charity, profiteth me nothing. Dear friend, we can be all that we can and achieve all the good that we can and muster up in our life, and we miss the love of God, and the love of God is not in our life and overflowing our life, and we're not cultivating the love of God in our life, dear friend. We are absolutely powerless. Verses 4 through 7. This is the practical aspect of the love of God. Charity suffereth long. You know, the love of God puts up with many things. But you and I, it seems though we get irritated and thrown off track at the slightest of movements. It says, charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not. I mean, listen, I honestly believe that envy springs up from too much self-catering. We think more highly of ourselves than we should. And we cater to our own needs and our own wants and our own desires, and we look inward too much instead of outward, and understanding that the love of God was not, and God was not willing that any should perish. And so we begin to envy because of all that. Love vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. To me, if we're not careful, we begin to think we're so much in ourselves, and that we have arrived and achieved, and that look at us and look how godly we are. We need Christ's righteousness. Well, now listen, dear friend. When the love of God is cultivated in your life, and the fruit of the Spirit is being drawn out, and God is working in our life, dear friend, we don't have to tell people that we are God's children. It just automatically flows. Our actions, our words, our kindness, our how we put up with things, and how we're not easily provoked, as it says here. It's there. It's shown to us. This is practical. Dear friend, when we look at the love of God in our life, and we say, well, I've suffered long at things, but sometimes I'm not kind. Then we've got to work on that. I don't envy, but I bought it myself, and I'm puffed up sometimes. Listen, dear friend, we got to die to self. We got to put the love of God in practical, everyday use. God didn't save us, dear friend, that we might hide off in a wood somewhere underneath a bushel, or you know, we're a city that sit on a hill. Let people see the love of God in our lives daily. Says it thinketh no evil. Hardly ever notices when others do wrong. How you doing with that one? Thinketh no evil. Wow, look how bad they are. How are we doing with that? I mean, you know, this is an everyday thing. And, you know, as we look at it and we see it, believeth all things. Instead of listening, dear friend, instead of looking for the little bitty faults, and why don't we learn through love to start expecting the best out of people? You know, the Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. Preacher, are we supposed to judge every man according to their fruits? It also says, be careful how you judge, because with the same measurement you judge, it shall be met to you. I'm not saying we're not supposed to look at people. Listen, dear friend, an orange tree is an orange tree. I know it's an orange tree because it puts off oranges. Christian ought to put off some fruits. There should be some difference in your life. I'm not saying that at all, dear friend. But we need to be very careful, dear friend, that we're not always looking for the wormhole in somebody else's apple. For our heart can be wicked above all. Who could know that? Believeth all things. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. Boy, we could get that one now just there by itself. There's too often, dear friend, we as God's people have a little bit of rejoicing in iniquity of this world. We get involved a little bit too much. The cares and sins of this world should run off of us like water on a duck's back, dear friend. We have to be very careful that we're not rejoicing in iniquity. But rejoiceth in the truth. The Bible says, sanctify thy word. Thy word is truth. Verses 1 through 3 says that we're powerless without the love of God in our life. Verses 4 through 7 says that the very effects of the eternal love of God would show forth its way itself in our lives in these such manners as we study. Verses 8 through 13 said that there would be a preeminence of the love of God above all. Above all. Love never faileth. Charity never faileth. You know what that means? It doesn't become obsolete. It never faileth. It's always there. Some of you have been saved, got yourself all backslidden and living in this world and done things that you're ashamed of, dear friend. That did not cause God's love to expire. His heart is open. Run to God. He's faithful and just to forgive any that would just seek forgiveness. Any. Now, preacher, I'm just as not a good as Christian as others. My prophecy shall fail. Tongues shall cease. Even special gifts would come to an end, the scripture says. But the greatest of all this, and when these things stop and these things cease, love shall remain. We don't have the love of God, dear friend. I didn't want to say this. We're beating a dead horse. We're not going nowhere. We might as well be sitting in a rocking chair with one of the rockers broken. The love of God is so important. And you know you felt. You've missed it. You've missed this coming together. You missed this time that we're here together. We've been hungering and thirsting for this time where we can enjoy the fellowship. One another with each other once again where we can see each other face to face. We understand that love, you know why that's there? Because the love of God, it overwhelms us and it causes us to have a desire to be around our brothers and sisters. The Bible says that one of the earmarks of Christianity is know that I pass from death into life is that I love the brethren. It's one of the benchmarks, one of the marks, birthmarks of a Christian is to have a love for the brethren. How's this going to happen, preacher? How do we live like this? Like it says in Romans 6, we yield ourselves as instruments of righteousness to the Holy Spirit of God. They might use us in full surrender to the Holy Spirit. Dear friend, produces
this great eternal love of God inside of us and causes it to be brought forth out of this old wicked, vile of a body that we live in, because the treasure of God is inside of us, the Holy Spirit of God. We are the temple of God. Full surrender. Not partial. Not looking for the limits. Not saying, well, I can love this far. Love of God is eternal. You want to see how far God's love goes? Study the life of Lot. My. Lived in around a godly, lived by a man called the friend of God. Lived with him, spent time with him, traveled with him. Lot come to a point in his life that he chose to go his own way and to choose a life of his own, and it was totally contrary and opposite to what he had been in, been around and been brought up in. Yeah, Abraham made some mistakes. Yeah, Abraham faltered and failed because Abraham was a man. Yeah, Abraham said, that's my sister, and he lied several times. Yeah, he concocted some plans that weren't within God, but he did with his dead level best to always return to Bethel and get right with God. Not Lot. Yet when it's all said and done, the scriptures in the New Testament says that it vexed the righteous soul of Lot. That's the love of God. God's love is eternal. God didn't love the fact that Lot lived in sin, but God loved him enough to allow his love to continue in hopes that the goodness of God would bring him to repentance. Wow, the eternal love that you and I should have in our life. Dear friend, when we get through all this, when all this here is said and done and finished and over with, and you know, we're back to serving God and having our choirs and choir singing, our Sunday school class, our Bible club, and we're back to work like we should and should be already, and then we're back to some sense of normality. We can't forget the desire to want to fellowship and to be around God's people. We can't let it fade. There has to be a fire within us, dear friend, that only God can put there. You know what the Bible says to the church in Revelation? You left your first love. Dear friend, if you left your first love, let me tell you something, return. Because God has not yet finished loving you. Because his love is eternal. He loves you. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. These old altars are here. Jim's going to lead us in a song of invitation. Would it be a blessing this Sunday morning if somebody's here that doesn't know Christ, their personal Lord and Savior? This morning, you'd come, you'd let us take the Bible, we'd show you from the Word of God how you can have eternal life and enjoy the eternal love of God. I'll be right down here. The altar's going to be open. You can practice social distancing at the altar of God. Come, as the Lord people sing. What page, Brother Jerry? 341, church.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. All our privileges to carry, everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Everything to God in prayer. Then we trials and temptations is trouble anywhere. We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful, who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. For we weak and heavy laden, covered with a load of care. Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake me? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. We'll find us all the same.
Amen. It has been good to be in God's house with you folks. Don't forget, the offering plates are up front. There's bulletins up front. Next Sunday is Mother's Day. Next Sunday is Mother's Day. And so we're going to try our best to be to honor our mothers next Sunday the best that we can during this time. And so I'm looking forward to seeing you. Now, for a short period of time, Sunday morning, 11 o'clock, is our only in-person service. Tonight, 4 o'clock, or this evening, 4 o'clock, Sister Dyer and Jared will be doing the Bible Club with the kid on the church Facebook page. Wednesday night at 6:30, they will be back there doing it through the month of May. The Bible Club will go on through the month of May. Sunday school will continue on Sundays for a while. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock in the pastor's study. I'll be back in the pastor's study then. You can join me live then. And we're going to take this slow. We're going to work ourselves back into this and make sure that God's people are fed and that our church is kept safe. The blood drive is May 17th. There's some information over here on this here pew. That's 2 weeks from now, so you can take that and pass it out. There's some bulletins if somebody or posters if somebody will let you hang one up in their store. Please take them over there if you can give. Please be a part of that. That's May 17th coming up. And so we're thankful that we're here and able to have met today. I want you to be safe. If you need anything, please let us know. Now, when we meet next Sunday, if you're feeling sick, if you're feeling ill, please go ahead and stay home. If you're not, come back and be with us. And we're looking forward to our time together with the Lord. Father, we love you. Thank you for this great opportunity we had as a church to meet back into your house, Lord, here and worship together this morning. Thank you for those that joined us through the Facebook and YouTube live streaming, Lord. We ask you to bless them as well. God, help us during this time to stay healthy, to stay vigilant, and, Lord, stay on top of our lives and our spiritual lives with you. Lord, help us take every opportunity we can, Lord, to look to you, to run to you, to meditate upon your word, to sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Lord, help us not to waste this time that we have been given, because this didn't catch you by surprise. You knew exactly how our nation and the world would react. God, help us as your people to react according to how you would want us to do. Help us to be lined up in your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.